Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Earns.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It is for educational purposes only. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding your medical condition.
Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Earns.
Hello. Today we have with us Michael Chimmett again. He's got such a huge line of products, and he is the regional educator for Nature's Plus. Today we're going to be kind of talking about the protein drinks. A lot of people have questions about that, which one to get, what they do, the quality, the processing. Mike's going to go into great detail. So if you're a bodybuilder or an athlete, or you just want to increase your muscle mass, as we get older, we actually, our muscles diminish, and you get the basically not rhabdomyolysis, which is the chronic wasting of the muscle. A lot of times that you get with the statin, but it's what kind of happens to you. As you get older, your muscles kind of shrink a little bit. So the protein drinks are extremely beneficial. Before we really get started, I like to look at all sides of everything, being a medical researcher. And again, I don't know if any of you are vegan. If you've read the China study, the casein is probably one of the worst proteins. Actually, in the China study, it indicated that large amounts, particularly the casein, which contains the 9 complete amino acids, has a tendency to increase the growth of cancer cells. And when you quit taking that, of course, that diminishes. And, you know, it's one of these things of, you know, if you stop doing it, things get a lot better. But we're seeing the industry coming out with a lot of the plant-based proteins, because they're so much safer and actually more effective, I think. And, you know, they have a lot of really good properties to them. So, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, protein drink mixes are dangerous. Well, if you're taking massive amounts. And Mike, what is it that you say that bodybuilders, what is it, for every pound they take a gram of protein or something like that?
Yeah, the recognized sort of regiment or training method is to, for a bodybuilder that's competing, you know, really
right,
one of those
right.
elite kind of bodybuilders, a gram of protein per body weight. You know,
wow.
So some of these guys weigh as much as 250, 270 pounds, the Mr. Universe type fellas.
Yeah,
that's a
yeah.
whole lot of protein.
And women, too. There's a lot of women into bodybuilding. I see them, you know, they're good customers. But high amounts of protein, we do need to let you know, is really not good for your kidneys or your liver. It can lead to kidney stones. Actually, it can lead to excess fat gain. Can be kind of damaging to the arterial walls, plaque buildup in the arteries. Actually, lethargy can affect your bone density and actually cause a host of other problems. But that's at very, very high levels. Actually, you can die by drinking too much water, too. So, you know, again, we see this in the industry. A lot of people in America, they've got this idea, and that's why I think, you know, there's a lot of restrictions on pharmaceuticals and even on supplements as far as suggested use, because people think more is better. Okay, well, I'm going to take 1 acetaminophen, so maybe 10 will be even better. Well, we know 20 will shut your liver down and you'll die. So, I mean, you want to really be careful with the pharmaceuticals, because most of them, have a very, very low they're very toxic. They have a very low LDL. So if you take even double or triple your dose on it, you could be asking for a lot of trouble. Now, in the supplement industry, a lot of times the manufacturers build in to where you can take about 6 times of, and please don't do this, but you can take about 6 times of what's on the label and still get benefit and not really get any major side effects. And again, I always tell everybody that, you know, everything's designed for a person that weighs 150 pounds. You need to kind of adjust that working with your healthcare provider. So if you're a 300-pound person, you might want to double the dose. If you're 75 pounds, you might want to take half the dose. And again, you know, talk to a qualified healthcare practitioner that can help you do that. I know personally, sometimes I greatly exceed the dosage of certain supplements because I know I can, I know what I'm doing. But, you know, you want to be very, very careful. And of course, we've talked about in the past iron, and you've got to be a little bit careful with that, because that can actually, at very high dosages, can be dangerous. So you want to make sure that you're very careful with all of that. But, you know, anything in a really high dose, generally, you can start getting some side effects or problems with that. So you want to be careful. Anyway, so there's a lot of different types of protein out there. Mike and I, we were just talking off air a little bit about the casein and the whey. Mike, explain a little bit about the difference between the casein protein, the whey protein, and then the new proteins. You know, there's also soy, which a lot of people are starting to get away from. Sometimes the taste isn't that great on it. And, you know, it is one of these what we call phytoproteins, but there's a lot of new novel ones that are coming out that seem to have even greater benefits. So explain a little bit of the difference between the animal proteins and what we got going there and then the plant proteins, if that's okay. I know I always ask a lot of you, Mike. So, well, yeah, tell us everything.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Okay. So first of all, I'll add one item. So we
please.
Hey, 250 grams of protein, 270 grams of protein, what some of these elite bodybuilders
are
doing.
Yeah, that seems like a lot.
To get into that kind of physical condition. You know, and I again, wouldn't pass judgment on somebody that wants to have a physique like that. You know, there are, you know, some aesthetic, you know, pleasing aspects to that.
Right.
And that's great. I don't fault anybody for that. But we just want to caution people to say that, look, doing that for a long term, you know, can lead to some side effects or some detrimental side effects to your body. You need to be aware of those and proceed with caution. Just know what you're getting.
Oh, sure. Well, so, you know, most of the supplements, you know, we're looking at proteins that are around, you know, anywhere between 10 to 20 grams per serving. So we're looking at a really, you know, like a tenfold, much, much lower dose. And there's also, not to talk about another company while you're on, but I know you're really good about that, but the Garden of Life makes a raw protein, which is out basically out of raw plant sources. And it's a phenomenal, been a phenomenal product for us too. So if you're really into being vegan and you want to get a really good source of a raw protein that's very bioavailable, that's something else you could look into. But today we're going to talk about your products. But explain a little bit of about the difference between the animal proteins, the casein and the whey, and maybe some of the caveats or problems with those.
Okay, so, you know, casein and whey basically both coming from milk or animal-based, if you will. Beef primarily, obviously, is one of the primary sources for milk.
Right.
And while they are complete amino acids, and complete means they contain the 8 or 9 essential amino acids, depending on how you define that and who you're talking with. But
yeah, what,
they contain all of those, right?
Yeah, you were talking to me off the air about, what is it, homocysteine, but what is the ninth one that they don't always...
Histidine was not initially
right.
considered to be an essential amino acid, and then later research over the years determined that, well, yes, it is somewhat, you know, essential. And
uh-huh.
Let's talk about that essential nature, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So essential
All right.
means, if you look it up in the dictionary, right, really good for you, really important, you know,
yes.
crucial, can't live without it. But when it comes to amino acids and even fish oil, for example, you have essential amino acids in proteins, you have essential fatty acids in fish oil, and they're essential not only because they are good for you, yes, not only because they are crucial, yes, not only because you need them really to sustain life, yes, but they're essential because our bodies
cannot produce it, right,
cannot produce
right.
them, so you have to get them from foods
outside source, right.
Yeah, and so many diets are deficient in these essential amino and fatty acids that supplementation is very beneficial to get those into your diet in adequate quantities, not way too many for too long of a period of time, and they're very beneficial for you, exceptionally beneficial in so many ways.
Well, it's just like selenium and zinc and iron and all those, you know, the essential minerals, the essential amino acids. Now, we're finding your body can sometimes convert some of the amino acids down from other ones. We're finding that the body is very, very compliant in that. I know with, you know, some of the... In the cardio cocktail, we have different amino acids, the arginine and the citrulline, which are actually considered now semi-essential because they found that your body can kind of convert or produce some of that. But some of these proteins, you cannot make. You've got to get them from an outside source. And I think that's where, you know, these protein drinks and so forth can be very beneficial, particularly if you are, you know, maybe not getting your protein from, if you're vegan, you're not getting your protein from a meat source, or if you're trying to get your muscles built up, or you just have a, you know, you're really doing a lot of athletics and you have that extra need. But the animal proteins kind of have a lot of issues with them. You know, like I said, in large dosages, they can cause problems. And
And if I might add that, Mike, there's another scenario when you look at the, and I didn't really go into too much detail, but the animal protein versus the vegetarian vegan proteins. So when you look at animal proteins, and you carry whey and some casein in the store, maybe you're going to get rid of casein, I don't know. But there are very clean sources, but let's face it, in the commercial livestock industry in general, milk industry, you know, there are hormones used in the production of these and growth of these animals. And, of course, those hormones will end up, you know, and I'll mention like the recumbent bovine growth hormone, the hormones that make steer and cattle grow larger than they normally would have, you know, have muscles larger than they normally would have from just eating, you know.
And they speed up the growth.
You know, and speed it up as well, too. So some of these end up in the milk. Therefore, there's a concern that they could end up contaminating the proteins as well, too.
Well, but and I want to interject something here real quick. And I did some research a few years ago, and I'm not going to say the company or anything, but, and, you know, a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, they're antibiotic free. We don't use antibiotics. Well, if you really research it and press it, yeah, they're not injecting or giving independent antibiotics into the animals. But sometimes it's found in the feed. It's really scary. I know, you know, we had Chris on a few weeks ago, and he was saying that they were giving, you know, like gummy worms or gummy bears, feeding like candy to these, you know, beef cows to fatten them up. It's kind of scary what can happen. And I'm sure that there's some listeners out there, too, that, and I've got some farmers that are in the beef industry. And they're kind of like, no, you know, we're real good about, you know, grass-fed and grain-fed. Although some of my farmer friends, they actually, you know, grow or have their own beef cows for themselves. And they, you know, they're not as worried as about building up that weight. And so they don't maybe feed them the growth hormones or working with the antibiotics and they're grass-fed. They may be leaner, but they aren't really worried about the, you know, the dollar issue. So a lot of these people that, you know, produce the beef, you know, they're under pressure. They'll go out of business if they don't get so much weight on in a period of time. So we've kind of done that to them. We've kind of done that to the farmer, you know, because we want that low price. Well, you know, and there's, you know, the competition and so forth. And so they're kind of forced into, you know, you can't really blame them. They're kind of forced into doing some of this stuff. So, you know, when we're getting the protein extracts from the milk and so forth, then you got to look at all what's been done. And that's where I think, you know, again, a lot of the companies are really good about making sure that their sources are good. I really like what your company has done. And if you want to explain a little bit about here now, you know, what you've done to make sure that the sources are pure. I mean, I see right on the front of the package, you know, allergen-free, vegan, gluten-free, soy-free. A lot of people have soy allergies, so organic, non-GMO. I mean, there's a lot of things you're doing. Go into a little detail on that for me, Mike.
So we do a lot of different testing, Mike, to make sure that obviously things that are clear and, you know, I mean, I can just go down the list. There's a whole list of them, something, and they get very technical here, very scientifically, but, you know, inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometry.
Okay? Wow.
Big word there, but it's a test that analyzes minerals down to 10 parts per billion or lower, for example.
So it's called CPM, I bet.
ICPM, SCPM, all kinds of different names. Gas chromatography, or GC.
Oh, yeah.
That will measure the identity and quantity of heat-stable nutrients.
Right. I've worked with GCs, and they can do down to actually parts per billion now, I think. It's phenomenal, the sensitivity on some of this stuff.
Exactly. You know, high-performance liquid chromatography, that measures and identifies the quantity of complex or delicate nutrients as well.
Wow.
Ultraviolet visible spectrometry identifies vitamins and minerals and many nutrient compounds to corroborate that they're there and that they're at specific levels. Enzyme-linked immunosorbent assays to detect the presence or absence of allergies and glutens.
Wow.
And then we even do something before we open up a box from a supplier. We open up a container. We do what's known as portable near infrared spectroscopy, which basically checks the chemical fingerprint of that nutrient to make sure what the company said it was is actually in that box and it somehow didn't get mixed up and the wrong thing sent to us and come even into our facility past the loading docks, the receiving docks.
So your sunflower protein is checked to make sure it's really sunflower protein and doesn't maybe have a little bit of pea protein or whey or something else mixed in it. So that's phenomenal. I mean, that's
exactly.
So you basically are checking for, you know, contaminants. You're checking to make sure that it is what it says it is. Does your company, I know a lot of companies will actually go out in the to the source and look at, okay, you know, this is where the, I've seen this time and time again, this is where the peas are grown, this is where the sunflower is grown, this is where the hemp is grown, that's getting to be a big thing, the hemp protein. They actually go out there. Does your company ever do anything like that?
We actually do. We'll go on site. We'll go on premises. Now, some nutrients, you know, they're coming from around the world, so we can't always just hop on a plane and be there. So there are actually people in the business that are representative brokers for you that actually go out and do that work. They're fully certified. And, you know, Nature's Plus has been in business since 1972. We know the best people. We've been working with only reputable folks for years. And we've learned to count on, you know, some of these folks that we use. And so, for example, once we start doing some of this testing, and we always reserve samples from previous batches, we'll start looking at the analysis of the nutrient content of the source that just came in, because they're constantly coming in as we're constantly making product. If they don't meet the bare minimum specs that we agreed to, at least it's rejected on the spot.
Yeah, and your specs are kind of high. Yeah, your specs are kind of high, too. So, but, you know, your bare minimum kind of, your bare minimum is sometimes the maximum that other companies are looking for. So I know you guys are really picky, which is important. And again, that drives the price up a little bit, but you seem to be able to do things for a reasonable price. Now, you've come out with, you've had protein, and you've got like the spirulina drink mixes. I mean, you've been doing protein, different the proteins for years. I know you've got like a cookies and cream we sell a lot of. I've got some customers that are like, you better not run out of this, or, you know, we're going to get you. So, but you've come out with this new line, which I'm really impressed with. There's a hemp protein, there's a sunflower protein, and there's a pea protein. And, you know, the first thing I'm thinking of is, oh my gosh, this is cool. You know, I'm going to buy one of each of these and kind of mix it together and get the benefit from each one. But, you know, each one kind of has a little bit of a different template. It's got a little bit of a different outcome. You know, why would you take hemp versus the pea and that kind of thing? Can you go into detail on that about why each one of these is, you know, you get unique. There's unique benefits from unique proteins. I think that's in one of your brochures. Actually, I'll go through this real quickly, and then maybe you can drill down on it. But the hemp protein is for the brain, the heart, the blood vessel health, calming, for your nervous system health, and for muscle maintenance, of course. And then the pea protein is more for weight management and appetite control, and again, muscle maintenance. And then the sunflower protein is, again, for muscle growth and muscle strength, but it's also good for your heart, reproductive tissue function, hormone production, and brain function. So we're kind of looking at, you know, the hemp is calming, the pea more for weight, and the sunflower a little bit more for, you know, your hormones in your heart. So, and why did you choose these three? Why do you stay away from soy? I'm hitting you with a lot of questions again. So, go ahead.
Well, that's okay. You said all the reasons why we chose the three. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, soy protein. Talking about it, my personal opinion on it is that soy protein is a good healthy heart protein, good for your heart in moderation. You would not potentially want to make any one thing, you know, your complete dietary source for whatever that nutrient may be. And my biggest concern when it comes to soy, frankly, is a GMO, genetically modified soy, which is really a, as you referred to in the past, sort of a Frankenstein created food.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That our bodies don't recognize and don't deal with well. And, you know, over in the Orient and the Asian societies, they've been consuming lots of soy for many, many years without a lot of the supposed or alleged dietary issues that some in our country today are really, I think.
But I want to make a big point, Mike.
Might be a little bit, yes.
Yeah, let me make a big point here. They eat a lot of fermented soy. They do not eat a lot of raw soy, and there's a big, big difference between that.
And they don't eat a lot of genetically modified soy.
No, they don't. No.
And I really think that's probably the main issue. Although, again, look, you can harm yourself by drinking too much water too quickly, which obviously water is, I mean, how much more basically nutritious or essential
yes.
can you get than water? So while I want to say that, yes, if you have an allergy to it, if you have some potential estrogen-dominant cancers, maybe you want to have some caution. But in general, my personal opinion is consuming soy is okay in moderation. I just want to throw that out there for the record. But
okay.
getting into the specific proteins as to why we chose your pea and the sunflower and the hemp, I mean, you really laid them out there in great form. The pea has been studied now. There's a research group in the Netherlands, actually, that have shown that pea protein compared to other sources of protein, is better at yielding more appetite suppressing or more satiety, as they refer to. It keeps you full longer in terms of vegetarian proteins.
And that's important.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's important to a lot of people, too. I mean, they want to bring on that muscle mass, but they don't want to bring on that fat. And that's been one of the problems, as we were talking about earlier, is some of these animal proteins actually add the fat, and a lot of people don't want to do that. They want the lean muscle mass is what they're looking for.
Exactly. And your hemp and your sunflower, they're very, very complete proteins with all of those essential amino acids. And what makes hemp really unique, a couple different things. Number one,
okay.
it has a really high content of tyrosine. Okay. And that's obviously, as you know, and you could go into great detail.
For the neurotransmitters.
You got it.
Right.
A critical precursor. Also has a high tryptophan content, which helps it obviously
for
help
calming.
Folks, calming and also involved in neurotransmitter production as well. Serotonin.
For the serotonin, the feel good. Yeah. So you got, that's again, when you're doing a protein mix like that, it kind of helps with stress levels. And it's like, wow, I added this protein to my smoothie today and it's helped to calm me, which that's really awesome. I mean, that's really exciting that you can get that benefit. Hey, I want to list real quickly about some of the things that your company, some of the standards. Of course, everything's USDA organic, which means that automatically is non-GMO. And I think a lot of people get that confused. But if it is USDA organic, it automatically covers the non-GMO, even though you may see certified non-GMO on there too, and you use an independently tested certification, environmentally responsible. So, you're using the most ecological, friendly, environmentally responsible methods available, which is very important. You don't want to see, years ago with echinacea, they were wild sourcing it, and all of a sudden it was becoming endangered. We see that with golden seal and some other things. So that's very important. Recyclable, again, the packaging and everything, you want to look at that too. It's all recyclable. Gluten-free, that's getting to be really important with a lot of people. And I think it's because, the wheat, barley, and any other gluten contributors, the rye and so forth, a lot of those are becoming GMO. And I think, what we were eating back in the 50s is completely different than what we eat today just because of that. Another big thing is yeast-free. A lot of people have issues with that, and there's a lot of potential side effects of yeast. And so being yeast-free is extremely important, which a lot of times, there's different types of yeast. Some people do eat the nutritional yeast, but we're talking about, a product here. You don't have to worry that it's in there. Another thing I like, it's the GMP, good manufacturing practices. And we've talked about that. The FDA requires that, and it really ensures basically that your products are FDA approved. I mean, people don't understand that, but you're a certified GMP facility, so it's an independent certification. And of course, you meet a lot stricter. In fact, I think you were talking the other day on some of these supplements and so forth. You have such a high GMP that you actually do a pharmaceutical grade form of that. The other thing is it's allergen free, and you use a FALCPA, which is a Food Allergen Labeling and Consumer Protection Act. So your product is free from all the major allergens by this Consumer Protection Act, which is, I think, really exciting too. Sometimes people are having more and more issues with allergies, and I see that with my MTHFR customers, and a lot of people with chemical sensitivities. So when you're getting this protein, you don't have to worry about end up getting getting hives later on because of something that was in there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I blasted a whole bunch of stuff here, Mike, but I'm really impressed with this product line. And can you add a few more things? I mean, I'm seeing like another thing I see on here is there's zero sugar. You're getting some fiber, zero cholesterol, zero sodium, just a touch, like in the sunflower, there's a touch of fat, but those are the good fats, which we actually need. Now, some of these have different calories per serving. And I noticed some of these have a little bit bigger serving size, too. So, you know, again, you know, customer comes in, they're looking for something. And I really kind of get a little leery when they're wanting really high protein because, you know, we just discussed all of the caveats of that. But a lot of these are only actually the hemp and the pea, they're only 75 calories. You're getting 15 grams of protein. They're getting a really pure product. Very little, you know, fat and carbs, but you're getting the good fats. They also contain, we should talk about this, the protein energy liberating enzyme blend. You guys are throwing some enzymes in here. Really quickly explain what's going on there with that. That sounds exciting to me.
Absolutely. Well, of course, plant proteins, all of these, plant and feed proteins, vegan, vegetarian proteins, and you need enzymes to make sure, number one, that you're breaking down those proteins
right,
and getting all the benefits of them. But not only that, we put the specific ones in the blend that we did because plant proteins obviously contain a lot of extra fiber on them, different components than an animal-based protein. So you need to make sure you're breaking down those specific plant cellular walls and really, again, releasing those nutrients so the body can fully absorb and utilize them. And that's really key. And one of the things that you mentioned that I would add with all three of the proteins, the hemp, the sunflower, and the pea, there's only three ingredients. There's the organic protein, whichever
yes,
it is,
hemp, the pure,
sunflower,
right,
or pea. And then there's organic quinoa.
Quinoa.
Which is, of course, an ancient grain, quinoa, right?
Right. And why do you and then, why do you throw that in there? Is it a binder? Or quinoa in and of itself is extremely beneficial.
Absolutely.
Is that why you throw it in?
Well, it's providing some of the enzymes.
Okay.
And it also gives it somewhat of a bit of a body to the shake.
Okay,
right?
So it's a little bit of a binder. Okay. Or for body. Yeah. Okay, great.
It gives a little bit of body and consistency, so it's not just simply a water. Because when we
awesome.
Say shake at Nature's Plus, we mean shake. We want to have a little consistency.
Yeah, you don't want globs
right?
at the bottom. Hey, Mike, this has been great. I think we've learned a lot. I'm going to have to let you go. And again, I really appreciate all the information. And listen again to Merry Man Herbs. It's a Better Life show.
The preceding information was not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Life just got a little better thanks to Merry Man Herbs.